everybody. Welcome to the 7th episode of the Let's Talk It Out podcast. I'm Trey Busy, a.k.a. Alec Lifshultz, depending on how well you know me. And today, I want to thank everybody for tuning in last week, like I do every week, actually. Everybody who sent me a message, I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me. It means a lot to me that you guys take time out of your busy day to send me a message to tell me how much you appreciate what I'm doing and the information that you are getting from my guest. So I want to also give a big shout out to Richard. You know, he's a very busy guy. For him to take time out of his day to come on and have a conversation with me, that really means a lot to me. I want to give shout outs to Barrett's Barroom people, Aldo Gandia, the guy who supplies the platform for me to do my podcast. I also want to give a shout out to Philotoshin and Shane Marsall, two guys that are like my mentors when it comes to this. Those guys have really been integral parts of me being able to be successful as far as like running a podcast, just by observing them and taking what they do for the shows and bringing it onto myself. With that being said, today I would like to read an excerpt to you guys from my boy Justin. Justin is one of the regulars for the chat room. Justin says, "This suicidal illusion has got to stop. Life is worth living. Be patient. You have a whole life ahead of you. You have so much to give. You're just being hard on yourself. This is going to take time and lots of it. There's going to be ups and downs, but they're temporary. You did make it out of two serious overdoses unscathed for no reason. Start believing in your biggest supporter. Believe in yourself. Show yourself compassion. Take a look at what you're journaling right now in a state of not wanting to be alive or not thinking of all this is worth it. It's just discouragement to yourself. It's time to stop up. It's time to step up to the plate." Well, Justin sent me that. He was journaling because he's had times in his life where some of us have times where we've had these suicidal thoughts, and he was telling himself to be strong. And I appreciate you, Justin, for being strong enough for you to even share that information with me. That's incredible. And I'm, like I told you before, I'm happy that you're still here with us and you're still able to interact with us. So with that being said, I would like to go in a little bit of a different direction. I would like to say something that's been on my mind a lot, posted on Facebook, is the word obsession. So I've had this conversation with a few people. It's obsession. Sometimes when people hear that word, they think about like someone being obsessed with someone else. Like, no, when I say obsession, I mean you are obsessed with making yourself a better person. You are obsessed with making yourself more comfortable, reaching goals, not even just in the gym, like just goals in general that you set in life. Bears head coach, Chicago Bears new head coach Matt Nagy, took it upon himself when he got hired to put that word, put the phrase "be obsessed" all over Hallis Hall, just telling the players that they need to be obsessed with getting better, they need to be obsessed with being a better team, they need to be obsessed with reaching the top of the mountain. Don't settle for what you have now. Don't settle for a couple wins. You need to be obsessed with being the greatest. And as you can tell, the Bears have been playing very damn good football because they are obsessed with not just accepting what they have done, succeeded with so far. They want to reach for bigger and better things. And that's amazing to me. And that's something that's been in my mind. And subconsciously, too, because I've recently just thought about the fact that he's put that all over Hallis Hall. Because that word has been on my mind. I've been trying to be obsessed with making things better, even with the show. So, that's my word. The topic that we're going to be covering today is mental health in the community and how it's viewed in the church as well. So, I'm going to go ahead and dive right into it. I'm going to start with the church. So, with the church, the subtopics I'm going to talk about is the stigma behind it in the church. So, a lot of people... First of all, with the church sometimes, a lot of people are uncomfortable there because they feel like they're being judged, because a lot of the members of the church, they like to gossip a little bit. That's one of the main things with congregations. There's a lot of gossip that goes on. You feel like that the things you say aren't just kept between you and that person. It spreads out like a wildfire. So a lot of people that have like social anxiety have a hard time opening up about what they're dealing with because they feel like what they say is going to end up being sprayed like wildfire to everybody else. I don't want to get too far into it, actually. You know what? I want to introduce my guest. I don't want to jump in there without her. So, I have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Stacy Hopkins. She's a nationally certified counselor. Stacy, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Good evening, everyone. Like you were saying, my name is Stacy Hopkins. I am a nationally certified counselor. I'm actually a counselor right now in Memphis, Tennessee, and most of my work is done with adolescents and young adults, but I do a lot of work with adults and trying to break the stigma of attending counseling and going to see a therapist, because it is something, especially in a lot of urban communities, that people don't seek help for. So this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and I'm definitely looking forward to reaching deeper into the topic tonight.
Well, I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy life and schedule to come on with me tonight to have this conversation, because it's a conversation that's very necessary for us to be able to just break the mold or the thought process around it. So we're going to start with in our community. We're going to start with things we encountered growing up, our family backgrounds, our friends, things like that. So if you guys aren't aware, I'm African American. Don't let my brightness fool you. I know a lot of people think I'm something else. I am a black man. That's how I identify. And when they give me a census sheet, I cross out that I'm black. So me being a black man, Stacy's black too, I think, right? Maybe.
I am. I'm African American. Yes.
Sometimes, okay. so we're both from, you know, the African American community. Now, one thing about the African American community, especially lately, one thing we notice is that all this fear from police officers shooting us and the video cameras and stuff like that. Like, imagine being told growing up that you shouldn't show emotion because it's a weak trait, or growing up without a father, or, you know, living below the poverty line, not having access to proper medical care. Imagine being treated differently because of the color of your skin. My first encounter with that is, like, I went somewhere. I think I was at a car dealership. I was waiting on an oil change, and I was sitting down. I walked and sat down, and it was an open seat, kind of. And a couple I sat next to, they literally got up and walked on the other side of the room and sat down over there. So I was like, I wasn't being loud. I wasn't even being ignorant. I wasn't even on my phone. Just thinking about that, it's like, you know, what the fuck did I do to make you want to, you know, walk away from me like that? Certain things like that, they really bothers me. Constantly living in a fear and dealing with trauma from a relentless number of viral videos of police interactions and altercations involving men and women of color. Every time you see a fucking car behind you and they flash their lights and you get pulled over, even if you weren't even doing anything wrong, even if you're just like getting a speed ticket or something, you still get like a nervousness about it. And that kind of shit causes PTSD. Just from, you know, from what you think is going to happen. Things that even if I've been through police mistreatment, obviously, because I'm black, but seeing the videos makes it a lot worse. Seeing how things go south makes it a lot worse for us. So, Stacey, you had any comments about that?
I can definitely agree with that, especially because going through that trauma, it does start at a young age. When you're in elementary school, middle school, we have school counselors in the school, but if you have a counselor who hasn't grown up in the community you've grown up in, or may not be the same skin color, you feel like they can't relate. And sometimes it is hard to relate when you're so used to dealing with cops being up and down the street, or, you know, you have people in your family who have been in and out of jail. If you can't find someone to actually talk to about things like that because you feel like you might be judged, or you don't feel safe having that conversation, you tend to hold all of that in, and that trauma builds up, and now all of a sudden you're 26 years old and you've never dealt with that. It just keeps building and building, and to the point where you do use other things to kind of deal with your trauma, and then it trickles down into family members. So it's definitely, it's a never-ending cycle with that.
It's a never-ending cycle. And the big thing I spoke on was growing up without a father.
Yes.
That has a tremendous effect on the way that men interact with society and everyday things, because they've never been exposed to how, they haven't been taught how, so they have to learn on their own. You know, it's a lot of trial and error if you don't learn how from a, you know, a father figure. So I'm grateful to be able to have my dad in my life. You know, I learned a lot from him. Some things I took away, I used, some things I haven't. But just the fact that he was there for me when I needed someone to talk to or I needed advice about something. Not everybody has that, you know. And it's kind of sad that they don't. Granted, there's a lot of strong single women out there. You know, you guys are amazing. You guys are pretty much superheroes for you to be able to work as hard as you guys do and still raise the family just by yourself. However, as that men still need to have men in their lives, period. There's no exception for that. That's you can't really replace that, honestly.
And there's a huge lack of male role models, especially in today's society. It's honestly, it's sad at this point because you're having to look up to what your friends are doing or what other people in the community who are doing who might not be the best role model for you. So there is a need for more positive male role models.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, looking up to your friend or looking up to, like, you can turn on TV and it's not really as it used to be, but the rappers with the big chains and stuff like that, or the womanizing, you think that's how you should be as a man.
Uh-huh.
That makes you more manly to be able to have a lot of women. And that even if you don't directly feel like that affects you, like subconsciously you believe that, you know, in your mind, you just find yourself just talking to and dating to multiple women at one time instead of just keeping it real with just one of them.
Especially in music today, if you ever sit there and just listen to some song lyrics, like, and I mean, you can tell a lot of artists, they're going through depression, they're going through anxiety, but then they work through it by having a lot of intercourse or drinking or smoking all the time. That's how they're working through what's going on with them. So then you tend to pick up on those traits because you think it's working and it's helping them, so it might as well help you.
But yeah, they're all in for a reality check. So another thing I want to really speak on is growing up is we're being told that you shouldn't show emotion because it's a weak trait. you're being told not to express what the human body was created to express. You're being told what your mind is created not to express what your mind was created to do. Your mind is created to express how you're feeling. You're being told to suppress it. And when you're told to suppress stuff, it has to come out somehow, and that's how depression and anxiety comes. You're being told that you can't express yourself truly like how you're supposed to. Oh, you know, you ain't hurt, boy. Stop crying. You know, get up. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Why you acting like a girl? So you're being told that at a young age, and children internalize a lot of things, and it becomes something that's embedded in their mind, even when they're adults. That's how you grow. That's how you grow up and become like a nonchalant person that just really seems like they don't care about much. But in real life, you just don't know how to express it because you were told not to at a young age.
And that's the thing. We have to stop telling our young boys that their emotions don't matter, that they can't cry or say I love you, that they can't run up and hug their dads and their uncles and stuff. That has to somewhere down the line stop. Because now they're not showing emotions as adults. When they're married, they're not showing emotions in their marriage. It literally just keeps going. And when you sit there and you tell, especially young men, that, okay, you can't cry because this happened. You have to man up. You have to take control of the situation. You're letting them know that their emotions don't matter. They're put to the side.
Man, that's so damn sad, man, because they grew up not knowing, literally, like, not knowing how to express themselves. And so their relationships start to fail because they're not expressing themselves like how their partner needs them to, but they don't know how to. Oh, man, that's. Whew. Living below the poverty line, man. Not being able to get what you need. And, like, people struggling to get food, struggling to pay bills. So, obviously, if you're doing that, guess what you can't afford? You can't afford the medical, you know, expenses that are needed to get counseling and therapy.
Exactly.
So, damn, I'm just really mulling over all this. So, a comment in the chat room, Also, black families being fearful of raising gay black men, they push to make sure little boys be manly. That sometimes they mute their emotions by trying to emphasize the more strong characteristics, neglecting their emotional side. Yeah, I mean, that is something that a lot of men, black men in particular, do say. Like, you know, I ain't raising no gay son.
Well, that happens all the time.
It does happen all the time. But, you know, you can't really control who your son or how your son feels. I mean, if he grows up, he's attracted to men. You telling him, like, hey, if you're attracted to men, I'm going to kick you out the house. Yeah, that's really going to help you guys' relationship grow and be strong. Telling your son that. I just, you know, my thing is, you know, you're supposed to accept your children for who they are. And you should have them feel comfortable with you, because you don't want your kids to feel like they can't open up to you. That's how they end up going to be around the wrong people and getting accepted by the wrong crowd, because they, you know, hey, this person made me feel good because I did this, let me keep doing that. And it's like, fucking, they're not everyone crack cocaine, they're like fucking 15 years old.
See, and that goes into that self-perceived stigma of mental health and mental illness. And when you're hearing all these different things from your family members and they're steady telling you, like, you can't be this or you can't do that, you grow up with that always in the back of your mind, whether or not you choose to believe it. It's always there. So especially when situations occur, let's say, okay, you have a bad relationship or you lose your job, these things affect everything that they said to you growing up. It's always in the back of your mind. You're holding on to that stigma, so you're not going to seek help for it.
You're holding on to something, and you're trying to internalize it. And like I said earlier, if you internalize things or try to hold on to it, it becomes anxiety and depression. I got someone in the chat room saying, black and white fathers who beat their children / wives are cowards, and often they were beaten too. Man, people don't realize that your father that started abusing you or your mom or whoever, he didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I can't wait till I have a family so I could beat their ass. It didn't start. Mm-hmm. It didn't start with him. It's a chain of events in the family tree, because he went through very traumatic life himself, and because of the traumatic life he went through himself, It comes back full circle, because he internalized a lot of shit he went through, and he thinks that's how you're supposed to be. You know, even if he doesn't say it, subconsciously he thinks that's how you raise your family, because that's what he grew up with. He didn't just wake up one day and say, "Hey, you know what? I can't wait till I come home to smack my wife." Like, what the fuck, man? Like,
no. Nobody wakes up with that thought and that mindset, clearly. I mean, if you grew up in a household where you saw your mom or your dad always arguing, always fighting, you, even though you knew in the back of your mind that was wrong, you perceived it as what was normal or what was supposed to happen in a relationship. So then, of course, you act that out in your own relationship because that's what you know.
Oh, man. We diving in kind of deep here, man. I'm trying really back in a little bit. That comment, man. That's real shit, though. So we're gonna go ahead and dive into the conversation about how minority churches handle the mental illness topic. I'm gonna keep it real with you, Stacy. I went to church a lot of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of years. My parents were pastors at one point. I'm 28 years old right now. I've never heard the church talk about the mental illness topic my whole life. And I've probably been in church my whole life. I've never heard them discuss it. Not once. Not once. But I have heard the story about how Judas betrayed Jesus 100 times. So I guess that means something, right?
Oh yeah, that's a pretty important topic.
Or you know, you hear same stories over and over again, but the mental health topic, in my opinion, is not brought up enough in church for whatever reason. And it's kind of sad, because people seek church. They go to church for, you know, sanctuary, you know, for their problems. A lot of people go to church because obviously, like, it's embedded in their mind at a young age to go. They become members and they end up just going regularly. But a lot of people do go because they feel like it's a great place for them to solve their problems, which is a mistake in itself. But, I mean, that's why a lot of people go to church. So I know, like, I have read a statistic. I said 1 in 15 American adults experience social anxiety disorder. So it's a condition resulting in significant fear and distress in situations where their fears or words are actually made exposed to the scrutiny of others. That's why they have a hard time with church. You know, in church, you got a lot of people that get in your face and ask you questions and stuff like that, and you don't feel comfortable enough to tell them what's going on with you. Like, that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is I want everybody to feel comfortable with opening up about what's going on with them mentally and emotionally. If you have something going on with you, I want you to feel comfortable enough for you to bring it up. Even if you don't want to bring it up in the chat room, you can message me to talk about it, and I'll be more than happy to have that conversation with you, because 9 times out of 10, I went through the same thing you've went through. You don't get that at fucking church, man. I'm sorry for cursing, but like I say 100 times, this is my fucking podcast. I don't give a fuck if you don't like if I curse or not. It's true. I'm passionate about it. You don't get that at church. You go to church and tell somebody something's going on with you, they'll be like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, because prayer is really going to help me out right now. You know, I need someone to be able to understand me. I need someone to be able to give me a shoulder to lay on. And it's crazy to think about that. At a young age, we have it embedded in our mind that church is the place we go to. We go there for you know, understanding and comfort for things in our life. But really, though, in my experience, as you know, I'm going to keep it real because that's what I do on my podcast. In my lifetime, my experience with church is that, like I said, those are the most judgmental people that exist. And I've met people... I've gone to bazillion bars. I've met people covered with tattoos, and those people are way nicer and way more understanding and way more open and comforting than people that are supposed to be church people. And that's fucking sad, man. You know? That's sad, you know, that's like that. I'm just keeping it real. If you guys don't feel the same way I feel, that's fine. You know, I appreciate your honesty if you don't feel that way. So, I'm sorry, Stace. I didn't feel like I just took over the damn podcast.
Oh, no, you were fine. Trust me. I definitely agree with everything. I mean, growing up in church myself, it has been, you don't talk about what's going on in your family. And if you do have something to talk about, you might tell the pastor, but then he goes and tells mom and dad, and then all of a sudden it's a big issue and you're in this crisis moment and everyone's praying for you, but no one's actually letting you know, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to work on this. You need to work on that. It's not brought up. And a lot of churches are still going through the same. I mean, even today with there's so many people committing suicide, you know, going through depression, and they're going to church and they're reaching out for help. But no one in the church is letting them know, okay, I hear you, I see you, I'm here for you. They're not looking at that signs. They're looking at the fact that, okay, you walked in there with a mini skirt on today and you were supposed to be in a knee-length dress, or, you know, you walked in there and you had your tattoo showing and they're trying to figure out why you're sitting in church, not knowing that you just broke down the other day and maybe you stopped yourself from taking this bottle of pills. They're not looking at that fact. They're looking at the fact that, okay, you're not what we expect you to be in church, so therefore we don't want you here, instead of accepting you and listening to you and being open.
Yeah, the chat room agrees with us wholeheartedly. CB fan goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, men that grow up abusing women. And he says, the cycle continues and repeats until someone taking the beating gets help and breaks the cycle. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell people, man. And you got the first way to break the cycle is for you to realize it's going on. You have to understand that it's going on to be able to break it. The church has failed the congregation. Nothing about beatings, mental health issues, and if you say something, you get ratted on and then beaten at home. Man, like, I'm 28 years old and I've been to multiple churches. I've never heard not one sermon, not even a mention of domestic violence in any church I've ever been in my entire life. Not once.
No.
And it's something that happens regularly. It's a regular fucking occurrence, and they never bring it up. That's crazy to me.
It also happens in the congregation, so that's why it's not brought up.
Yeah, the fucking deacon probably puts his hands on his wife so they don't ever talk about it. Stacy says, church unfortunately often ignores science, mental health, evolution, orientation. I broke with the church years ago because my kids don't need that shit. Okay, Stacy, I feel you on that. I feel you. They say, I've been going to choir at 10 years old with a black eye, and when you tell the truth about who beat you, you feel like a snitch. I mean, everybody, I'm not making this up. This is not just something I feel. This is, as you can tell from the chat room, everybody feels the exact same way, because this is exactly what they've been around. This is exactly what they've been exposed to. You know, I'm not trying to knock church in any possible way. You do get a lot of good from church. You know, and the Bible does say go to church. But when people say they're going to pray for you, I always tell people that that's like a scapegoat. Like, every time a natural disaster happens, or every time, God forbid, a shooting happens, people say, my thoughts and prayers are with you. What are your thoughts and prayers going to do for someone who just lost their fucking dad? I just want you guys to think about that. Tell somebody, my thoughts and prayers are with you. James 2, it says, verse 14:26, faith without works is dead. So prayer without works, you saying that I'm praying for you, but without being willing to help that person out, is dead. It's not going to do anything for them. You have to
be- at all. I mean, you can say you can pray for me all day, but what is that going to change?
Sometimes you have to roll your sleeves up and get in the mess. You know,
mm-hmm.
People don't want to just hear, I'm going to pray for you. So, like I said, a lot of good does come from church, but
the church needs some work done. It has to, in order for people to actually start attending church and wanting to be there, it has to go through a change.
I read something that was really good. It says, the Bible clearly equates self-control with spiritual maturity. So most mental health conditions can negatively impact executive functioning, the cognitive capacities through which we establish priorities, plan for the future, manage time, delay gratification, mm-hmm. and they exercise conscious control over our thoughts, words, and actions. So when children struggle with self-control in the absence of obvious signs of disability, we're often quick to make assumptions about their parents. So one mother is describing her family experience and looking for a church with, you know, two school-age boys, ADHD, observed that. And people in the church think that there's some, you know, it's bad parenting because these kids have ADHD. Like, the mom can control that. It's like there's some type of mental block in a church when it comes to mental health. There's a block. There's like, this kid won't sit still, so obviously his parents aren't good parents. Come on now.
It's ridiculous.
It sounds kind of, you know, silly and, you know, trivial when you think about it, but this is legit how it is, especially in the old style churches when you walk in there and they got like 20 benches sitting out there and they got the hymn books and they got the dust on them and the choir comes out and the reverend wears a robe and they walk out there and they got like the water fountain that's like in the gym. If you go into a church, mm-hmm. I saw a meme, it said, if you go into a church and they got that water fountain that's in the gym, that means you're going to be in church service for about 8 hours. And that's the realest thing I've ever heard in my entire life, because it's true. So, and I'm gonna say it one more time. I said it twice, I'm gonna say it three times. I am not trying to knock church, but a lot of times when church does not bring up mental health, they completely ignore it like it doesn't exist. And they try to always equate it to someone acting out or demons. Oh, this person has demons. This person is dealing with demons. Like I said, I notice a lot of people in here that go to church every week. Church is good. You know, I'm glad you guys go to church. But that doesn't change the fact that I've never once ever in the history of me going to church heard them ever bring up domestic violence. So I need some answers. I haven't got any. You know, maybe I'll get in contact with a pastor and ask him, like, hey, man, I need your honest opinion. Why don't you guys talk about domestic violence? Because it happens every day. 50% of them go unreported. 50% of incidents go unreported. And that statistic might not even be right. But I still need to hear answers.
And honestly, maybe that's something that needs to happen, you know, going into the church and letting them know what is going on and what is needed. And trying to get that change. If church is something that you want to be at or you want to attend, go and talk to your congregation, go and talk to your pastor, let them know what's going on in the community, help get that change out there, have professionals come in. Somewhere along the way, something has got to happen.
Another thing with churches, our churches are, they're very social places. Like, people are very open with each other. They have conversations with each other. They have meetings and stuff like that. But some people with common mental health conditions struggle to pick up on languages, like, you know, as far as, like, certain signs of interaction with people. Day-to-day interaction, body language, facial expression, you know, eye contact, tone, and affections, voice. They may fail to pick up on the unwritten rules for conduct and behavior common in many churches. So that's like another block for that. You know, if someone has something going on with them, you know, mentally, they don't understand certain things about church because they mentally block it out inadvertently. They can't control that. They're not understanding what's going on. So that could be another thing that happens with churches. And like I said, man, I'm not bashing the church, but I just want answers. I want change. I want there to be accountability. That's what I'm saying. Like, people seek church for refuge. A lot of people go there for spiritual and mental refuge, but they don't get
a safe haven.
A safe haven, but they don't get the answers that they need and deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you know, the cabal is in your court, church. No, I'm kidding. So, I'm sorry. Stacey, you got something to add on to that before you move on?
Just to go ahead and add on to that, if anyone in here is heavily involved in the church, like I said before, like, there are a lot of organizations, especially depending on what city you're in or what town, that will go and host free events at your church. So definitely reach out to them. I can go ahead and give you guys a list at the end of the show just so you can have that information so they can make those connections, because like he said, a lot of things do need to change, and it's only going to change until someone tells them that there needs to be a change in there.
Give me some, it's like a website.
Yeah, you can actually go on NAMI.org. That's NAMI.org.
NAMI.
And yes, and they have a list of different, they will host free events anywhere that you need them to host. And they will come to church, speak there, do everything that needs to be done.
You got some more links, because I'm just going ahead and put them in the chat room now. I'm typing them out right now.
Yeah, you can actually go on counselor.
Okay.
Needit.com.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And then, I don't have many of you guys heard of mentalhealth.com as well. Well, .org, excuse me, but they have a lot of links as well for that.
Just putting it all in the chat room, so we're good. I just want to make sure it's out there now, because, like, towards the end of the show, I want people to make sure they have the information there already.
Okay, cool.
So, with that being said, we have people that inadvertently self-medicate with drugs or alcohol. The people that you know in your life that say, "Ah, man, it's been a long day. I need a fucking drink." Or, you know, people that just feel like that they have to use drugs to get away from their situation in life. Now, I'd like to say that I know people that just, you know, some people do smoke weed. It's just chill out. But if you're doing drugs just to escape life, like, come on, man. You don't need to escape life, bro. Life can't be that bad for you to feel like you have to escape from life. Same thing with alcoholics. That's how we have the alcoholic uncles and family members. They feel like that they have to drink to escape life. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a glass or two or wine or having a couple beers. But if you feel like you got to get lit every day just to deal with things that you encounter every day, or just to deal with how you feel. Like, if you're drinking or smoking to get rid of how you feel, get away from how you feel about something, that's an indicator that you're abusing the substance.
That's true. I mean, honestly, it's a temporary fix. I mean, especially I can say a few years back, like, I mean, I was going through my own rough, stressful time financially, mentally, physically. There was a lot of depression in place. And I did turn to alcohol to try to get rid of some of those emotions, and temporarily it would make me feel better. But once you stop drinking, you're back to feeling the same way. So it doesn't help. And then that is a cry to say, you know what, I need to talk to someone about what's going on, because clearly what I'm doing now is not working.
The chat room is going ham right now, man. Like, you know, why is church attendance failing in America? When I hear pastors talk politics, I get out of that church quick. My boy Frankie says, my grandparents' church had two water fountains in the entryway. My guy, hey, look. He know I'm not lying, man. Like, you walk in church and they got the water fountains, you know you're going to be there all day. Someone says, oh, and don't let that smelly homeless man in church. I remember a story a few years ago on Facebook I saw about this guy. He kind of, he had like a scruggly beard, and he had like unruly hair, and he had like bigger clothes on. And everybody kept walking past him at church, not saying nothing to him, not saying hi to him. And everybody was like, oh, you know, a couple people were like, oh, you need something here, sir? You know, talking to him. They thought he was homeless or something like that. And the guy, like, literally walks to the front of the church. And he, like, he walks in front of the podium, and they introduce him as the pastor of the church. And it just literally blew everybody's mind. And that was just, like, an incredible story to me. Like, this guy, you know, he's dressed like this just to see where people's hearts were. And that's why I say about church people, they sometimes, they're very judgmental. They thought this guy was homeless. And meanwhile, this guy was a pastor. That's incredible. Oh, that's incredible.
That makes no sense.
Stacy said, it's encouraging some seminary schools are offering mental health counseling as part of their curriculum. That's very encouraging. That's a very beautiful thing. Oh, man. Anyone to say mental health and stress are not welcome in church, depression not welcome in church. I said it, and everybody's agreeing with me. I've never heard that be discussed before. And that needs to change. We need to talk about real life occurrences in church. We need to keep it up to date. You know, we all know David defeated Goliath, and we all know that Noah built the ark. But can we learn a little bit more about what's going on, like more modern day? You know, because depression and anxiety are tearing up the neighborhoods, and nobody cares about it because they don't know how to express themselves. They're not being taught how to express themselves at younger ages. It's just literally tearing communities up, and it's crazy.
And people in the church have a voice that people listen to, they respect, but they're not using it for what it could be used for.
They listen to them every week. They come in every week to hear it. And they don't ever get the help that they need or they deserve. Mm-hmm. So, I create this podcast to be a voice for the people that are voiceless, to give people something to listen to help them get through their week. For them to feel like their voice matters, because I do read everybody's messages to me. Anything that you send me, if you feel like you want to write something out and send it to me, I listen. You know, I read it. If somebody want to send me like a, you know, sometimes a video or something like that on Instagram or Snapchat, I listen to it. I give feedback because I believe in people expressing themselves. Man, you should be able to freely express yourself without being judged. That's how I feel. You know, a lot of times I relate to a lot of you guys, the things that you feel, the things that you go through. Me personally, I've been through a lot of it, and I feel like I had never had nobody to talk to. So me feeling that way, I want to make sure nobody ever feels that way again. I don't want anybody to feel like they have nobody to talk to. That's the whole reason I do what I do. That's why the name of the show is called Let's Talk It Out, because I want you guys to come together with me, and I want us to feel like we're able to discuss what's going on with us. That's literally the whole purpose of the show. If you feel like, again, I'm going to say it again. If you feel like you need somebody to talk to, reach out to me. And I may not respond right away, but I will get back to you. Don't even worry about it. I will always get back to you. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and Stacey, I feel like I just keep like just mentally blocking you out of my show.
No, you're fine.
You're just over there quiet. Like, oh, here he goes talking.
You know, you have a lot of good stuff. I'm listening with everyone else. You have a lot of good stuff to go ahead and share.
Yeah, because I feel like, again, you know, for the fourth time, I'm not bashing churches, but there needs to be a change. These people, look towards you and they listen to your voice. They want help with what they have going on with them immediately. You know, they don't want to hear about how Saul changed his name to Paul and became a prophet every fucking week. They want to learn about how to deal with what's eating them up inside. They want to hear about the anxiety that's tearing them up on the inside. They want to hear about the depression they're going through. They want to know why they feel numb when they're around their friends or family or when they're out or a situation where they're supposed to be happy and they don't feel the happiness. They want to know what's going on with them. Not a lot of people are able to afford to go to get therapy. Not a lot of people can afford that. So they turn towards the church for that. And they get to church. And this is what, you know, they're not getting the help that they deserve. And they're not getting the information they need or deserve.
No, I say the thing is, even if you go there for help, there's always the fact that, okay, this person's judging me or they're going to talk about me behind my back. This isn't a safe place for me to go ahead and talk about what's going on. Because if you're struggling with an addiction or you're struggling with the fact that maybe you're boyfriend or girlfriend does beat you at home or something and you feel like, okay, but this person does amazing work in the community, everybody in the church knows him, if I go to church and I tell someone what's going on, it could potentially get back to him, so therefore I don't feel safe going to church and talking about this. And that needs to change, because if church is supposed to be this safe haven for me, why do I feel like I don't have anyone to talk to or I don't have anyone to turn to?
Oh man, the old gossip tree. Like I said earlier in the show, you tell one person something,
mm-hmm.
and next thing you know, it's being brought up on stage.
you're hearing about yourself in the sermon. And you're like, okay, I just told Miss So and So that. Like, okay, then.
I'm demanding change right now. If you're hearing this and you're heavily involved with your church, I'm demanding change. We deserve a change in how things are ran. So, like I said, I'm not bashing it, but I'm just demanding change. I'm expecting greatness. This is 2018. We should be able to have immediate access to health care. Not health care. I take that back. Immediate access to information. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. We do deserve health care.
I mean, health care would be nice as well.
No, America, we like, fuck Canada has free health care. Like, what the fuck? Wait a second. I ain't going to go there.
That's a whole another hour conversation right there.
Many families impacted by mental illness carry with them the baggage associated with the past negative experiences of church. Kids with mental illness often inherit their predisposition for their conditions from their parents, which goes back to what we said earlier about when I said that the father, you know, oh, the father just beats the wife and the sons. I'm like, the man didn't just wake up one day and decide he was going to put his hands on his family. That didn't start with him. It's a generational curse. If the mom or dad experienced a condition during their childhood and teen years, you know, it's just the likelihood they'll seek out church for their family as a young adult is markedly diminished. Because, again, like I said earlier in the show, domestic violence is not brought up in church. It's not brought up in church. That domestic violence is one of the main things that's tearing communities up. And no one knows how to deal with it. They think that it's normal. For some people are so used to it because of life they have experienced growing up that they think it's normal for certain people to talk to them a certain way. And it's not. You know, so you should never feel like someone's breaking you down at any point during your relationship. Mentally, physically, or emotionally. So, the chat room, I'm sorry to cut you. I'm going to read this comment from the chat room. The stigmas that occur in the family is to spill over into the community and the cultural infrastructure of the society. The community makes up the church. It starts with individuals that are willing to break the dysfunctional norms of society. Yeah, I mean, the community does make the church. Go ahead, Stacy. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine. I was definitely just going to jump right in there and say, honestly, like you were saying, it does come down to the community. Being open and honest with what's going on, and they don't, especially in church, you don't see healthy relationships that are presented in a way where you can say, okay, this is an example of how a marriage should be. This is an example of how a family should be and how a family should be treated. Because you do see, especially in those small churches, you do kind of go back in time where the women have to be quiet and sit in the back and all the men are up in front. So you do kind of step back with that. And then, I mean, you have kids, honestly, who have grown up in church since they were born, and that's what they're seeing. That's what they know. That's what they're used to.
I had someone comment inside the chat room saying, I feel like the church has let me down, but he also said Jesus has never let me down. The church never rats out the adult beaters in the congregation. No, they don't. They sweep it under the rug. They sweep it under the rug. When a person knows better, he do better. Growth, transparency, and the full truth needs to be addressed. I 100% agree. 100% wholeheartedly agree. Let's see. I mean, the chat room has some really good comics. Really good comments. I'm just going through some of them right now. So, I like to say another thing. Like I said earlier, my parents were both pastors. I grew up knowing the word, studying the word, having the word enforced into my life. My mom used to be funny as hell. Like, when every time we did something wrong, she would make us read a Bible scripture. She'll pick a Bible scripture and make us read it. We used to do quiet time growing up. We had to go to our room for about 15, 20 minutes throughout the day and just sit there and just read for 15, 20 minutes. So the Bible was very much instilled into my life. And I feel like during the course of time, over the hundreds and hundreds of years, things drifted away a little bit in the church as far as like how things are supposed to be. You know, there's not a lot of transparency at all. Everything, a lot of things are swept under the rug. Everything is swept under the rug. And a lot of real issues are not brought up. And everything is a lot, there's a lot of fluff in some churches. Frankie Meyer says, church also ignored emotional neglect in my experience. Yeah. It's like, that's what I said, man. Like, a lot of things are swept under the rug nowadays. It's just, hey, let's come talk about the Christmas story every fucking year.
See, that also goes back to families, though. I mean, growing up in a lot of families, a lot of issues are swept under the rug, and you're not allowed to talk about that outside of your immediate family. So if something was going on, if you felt like you were betraying your own parents by even bringing it up. And these are the same people that are running the churches today. And, I mean, you're teaching that same thing to everyone else. I mean, come on.
Everything is connected spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Man, I just... The chat room, man. Church, if you acted like the perfect little kid, they just assumed that nothing could possibly be wrong with you, so they just kind of ignored you. And CB fans been going, he's been going ham all night. He says, when would a church talk truth? Not just scripture, but real problems. That's a great question, man. That's the $1 million question of the night. I have no idea how to answer that because I don't know. I don't know what real problems are going to be brought up in the church. Hopefully it's real soon, you know. If I had time or energy, you know, maybe I could become a pastor one day. That time or energy. That's a big maybe though, because I really don't have either or for today. although from what I've seen, the reports I've seen, you know, that the tithe and offerings, you make a lot of pretty good money. I see the guys driving around in the Mercedes Benzes and wearing nice suits and stuff everywhere.
I mean,
I'm just saying, I can live that life.
it definitely sounds like a pretty good salary. So I mean, they're making more than counselors. So.
See, Frankie, come on, man. You can't be complimenting me like that, man. He says, Alec, you'll be a wonderful pastor, I think. Me? A pastor? Come on, man. I'm not finna swindle people out of their money. I can't be a pastor. I'm kidding. I'm not about that life. I really can't. Man, that's it. every pastor gets a tax-free home, Trey. It's not bad.
I do. Come on, man. It really sounds really enticing, though. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, there you go. He's petitioning now, so.
I might have to do some research. Just a little bit. So what's up, Stacey? What's going on?
I mean, everyone's provided so much. Like, we've been on church this whole entire time just because there's so much that needs to be unfolded just within the topic of attending church, because people, I mean, you want that spiritual connection, and that's not to say you can't get that from church, but if you're going through so many other issues in your life, I mean, how can you honestly sit in church and be okay? Right now, I mean, if you've lost your job, if you're going through a financial break mentally, you don't know how you're even going to make it through this week. You can't sit in church on Sunday and honestly not want to break down. And if you do break down, then it's like, okay, all of a sudden people are like, oh, what's going on? What's wrong? But no one really wants to know truly what's wrong. They just want to sit there and pray for you, and hopefully it gets better. When honestly, you need assistance, you need that work being done with what's going on. So, I mean, I hope one day that there can be change within that, but honestly, the church is going to have to go through a whole makeover just to get to that point.
Man, the person who is willing to speak truth, healing, and wholeness. For my mom's post in the chat room, a lot of people wear a mask and pretend in church. They put on a front of everything being okay. Oh, everything is great at home, but they're living in a house and they're full of fear. There's a big level of fear, and they're afraid because they don't want to bring up what's really going on at home, because, again, the whole gossiping thing and the whole being judged thing at church. They need help, but they can't get help from the one place you're supposed to be able to get help from. That's, you know how crazy that sounds?
It's true, though.
That's insane. That you need help, and the one place you're supposed to be able to seek sanctuary from, you can't get it from. So what purpose?
You can't get it.
So what purpose does that place serve for you in your life? It doesn't serve a purpose. It's a trick question. Man. I'm sorry. Man, when you need action, don't go to church. Church is just the ATM for the past. Oh, you know, you guys are going ham in the chat room, man. I can't. These comments, man. You guys keep it real, man. Oh man, we're gonna go ahead and finish up the show in a little bit. Stacey, you got any closing remarks for the people?
One thing I do want to say is, even if the church isn't providing the help you need, you can always visit your local mental health centers, your community centers. I know a lot of people say they don't want to go to therapy, they don't want to go to counseling because it is expensive. If honestly you go there and you're able to show them that you can't afford therapy, you can get free therapy sessions, and they'll, you know, depending on where you live at, it'll be maybe about 10 or more for each half of the year. Or they'll even go ahead and allow you to pay like $5 down for each therapy session. So, I mean, even if you can't go and get the help you need from church, there are other places you can get it where you won't feel judged and you won't feel like you can't be accepted there.
Places you can go and not feel like that you're, what you say to somebody is going to be spread out throughout the whole community.
Mm-hmm. You can go to your local health department. They have a mental health division there. Wherever you stay, just go to your local health department and let them know that you're seeking therapy. And you can either get free services, or you can get services for as little as $5 for each session.
That's all that matters. If you're able to get the help that you need, that's literally all that matters. So
exactly. With
that said, I would like to tell everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight. Conversation was real, as it usually is, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you guys again next week. And like I said, I'm gonna reiterate it again, if you have anything that you want to say, anything you want to get off the chest, any comments.
Talk It Out page on Facebook and Twitter, because that's where I'm here to really get in contact with you and really